Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, and I bring you greetings from Waterworks Mennonite Fellowship. It's always a joy to be here and worship here in Shenandoah, and I, too, enjoy Christmas season a lot, always have. Great memories ever since I was a child, as long as I can remember, and I do believe that it is a time where the door maybe is open in a way that other months it's not open as much to just share the love of Christ and so forth. And the glimpses that I got into your event here in Shenandoah, I think you took the opportunity to do that well. And I bless you for that. So it is over 2,000 years that since the first Christmas, as we know, and we are definitely still celebrating the joy of Jesus. And there's so many traditions that go along with Christmas that I think are wonderful, that are woven probably fairly deep into our hearts, family time, Christmas carols, and so on. But I'm also very keenly aware that our culture has seemed to sabotage the true meaning of Christmas. If we're not on guard, that can easily happen through the commercialization and in just the busyness. I agree, there's a tone of cheer in the air. But sometimes you get into a crowd at Walmart the day before Christmas, and I'm wondering if anybody remembers what the real reason for Christmas is. Some of the things I believe that really do sabotage of the true meaning of Christmas is the busyness and so on. But I don't know if you ever saw the painting of a crucified Santa Claus. I don't know. The first time I saw that painting, it just tore my heart to shreds. But that's a fact. Santa has really kind of, whatever your opinion is of how you deal with that specific issue of Santa Claus. When I first saw that painting of Santa on the cross, it just ripped my heart to pieces. And I'm talking about the culture has tended to sabotage the true meaning of Christmas. And I think just a reminder for us to just focus on what it's all about. I think it is very meaningful to celebrate the first advent of Christ. I actually know Christians who are very cautious to even celebrate Christmas. And I'm certainly not there at all. Some of the arguments is, well, it definitely wasn't December 25. Well, probably not. But I contend that it is very appropriate to celebrate the first advent of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, and keeping in mind that was already mentioned that it led to the cross and so on. So I'm going to share a few inspirational thoughts this morning. I looked at the calendar. Wait a minute, this is the Sunday before Christmas, so it's only appropriate that we have somewhat of a Christmas theme. And I just chose to do something just a little bit different this morning. I plan to, maybe this could be the title, Three Christmas Songs to Inspire Us, okay? I enjoy Christmas songs. In fact, I have I wonder why we don't sing them a few more times throughout the year. In fact, choristers, I will put you up to, I don't want to call it a dare, but July, sometime in July, open up and have three Christmas songs. And I would contend that that would be very appropriate. Maybe somebody could argue with that. But so here we go. Three Christmas songs. And the three Christmas songs that I am choosing this morning to just, again, to inspire us, to point us to the reality of Christmas or the real meaning of Christmas. And maybe not the three songs that you would first think of. One of them is very popular, but the first one is maybe not very popular. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I have really learned to appreciate this song when I got the backstory of the song. And that's what I'd like to share just a little bit. I think Sight and Sound has a production on this. I heard the bells on Christmas morn. I think that's where I got a lot of the content of the story. I mean, I obviously studied it just a little bit, but Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is a very prolific poet, wrote many pieces of several classics. And in 1861, his wife died, and I think it, if I remember the story right, her dress caught fire, and she was trying hard to extinguish it, couldn't. He came in, tried to extinguish the fire, but he was severely burned in the process. He was burned that bad he couldn't shave. So therefore, he probably didn't shave for the rest of his life, but he was... his unkept beard is also associated with his image. His grief was so severe that it sent him into a period of his life that was so dark and so full of despair. In fact, there was times where he was pretty sure they would send him off to an asylum or a mental institution. And this is what he wrote in his journal. He wrote, "I can make no record of these days. I would better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." Deep grief, deep anguish. Those of you that may be associated with, enjoy history, 1861, fast forward, 1863, that's 2 years ahead. You know what was happening in America? The Civil War was raging. And his oldest son, Charles, slipped away without his consent. And he got on a train from Massachusetts, I believe, and went down to the South, or not exactly sure where he went, but he joined, he enlisted in the Union Army. And he was a hair breadth from being killed, or at least paralyzed. A bullet got him in, I think, in the right shoulder, and the news came to him, and just like another wave of deep grief. And that's the backstory to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And it was Christmas Eve that he was in his home, and then he heard the bells from the Cambridge, Massachusetts bell tower pealing out the notes of hope and joy, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And it seemed to mock his world. And he sat down, being an amazing poet, he sat down and he wrote the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Morn." And that song, which we're going to go through, it goes from deep despair and almost like the mockery to his real world to truth. And Matt, I think in your prayer you mentioned about the people that may be going through deep grief, and that is a reality. Sometimes Christmas is a very difficult time for people that are going through a very difficult valleys. But there's just a verse here that I'd like to... "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might find peace," that you might have peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Remember, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote in his diary or journal, "Maybe someday God will give me peace. But right now I'd rather have all my life wrapped in silence, and I can make no record of these days." So we're going to sing this song. Gave Dawson a heads up, but let's go through the words. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." So let's all stand, sing the song, and then we'll go to the next song. Go ahead, Austin.
I know.
Appreciate the flow of that song, going from despair to just incredible hope. And really, that's what Christmas is all about. So maybe someday you'll have the opportunity to sit with somebody who is in this condition of when Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and maybe even that song can be a blessing. The next song I just like to highlight is probably the most familiar Christmas carol. And I don't know if you're aware of that. I mean, Isaac Watts, of course, it's from the Song of David, focused on Psalm 98, but it's called the Accidental Christmas Song. And you may be aware of that. It never was intended to be a Christmas song. In fact, if you really look at the words, it's really focused on the second advent of Christ, of him coming back. And maybe what I'd like to do is, I'll just read these verses here. Let's just look at them. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. And with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. And joy is definitely an appropriate Christmas theme, okay? In fact, it's a Christian theme. That's what joy is really Christian. I'm not going to go through a lot of the details in this song. You're maybe aware that it was used in Handel's Messiah, but I remember the time that I realized that this was not actually written for this first advent. It was all about the second advent. But the idea that I would like to capture, my goal here is this morning is just to focus on three Christmas songs, and my goal is to inspire us and to just allow through the inspiration to focus on the reality of the first advent of Christ. So what I'd really like to emphasize is the Lord has come. And that was true in the first advent, and it will be true in the second advent. And I think that's what was really burning in Isaac Watts' heart as he put words to those thoughts. But Well, I'm not exactly sure when, what year it was, but I came across a Christmas card that has left an impression. And I think it's the original one, but I don't know. I'm just curious. Have anybody seen this or heard of it? It's entitled, If Jesus Christ Had Not Come. But it's pretty amazing. And I'll just summarize it. And the summary of it, there's a pastor that has had a dream, okay? So he's walking through his house and all the cheery decor was gone. He steps outside. To his dismay, there was no church. The phone rang, and he was a pastor, so he opened up, he went to minister, and he opened up his Bible, and his Bible stopped at Malachi. There was no New Testament to go to. And then, lo and behold, a few days later, this is his dream, he was called on to conduct a funeral service. And he had no text for the glorious resurrection. All he had to offer was dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And then he woke up to some beautiful Christmas carols. Anyway, the fact that the Lord has come, that brings incredible joy. So even regardless of the fact that this may have been focused on the second advent, just that fact, the Lord has come, is inspiring. It's exciting. And the next song is going to capture some of that as well. But let's go ahead and sing probably the most familiar song known in Christendom. That was an accident. Let's stand and sing it. Oops.
To the world the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And let nature sing.
Speaking of wonders, wonders of His love, probably one of my favorite Christmas songs. I don't know that much about it. I was searching for more data, for more information. I think I found the author. I think I found that the group called The Inspirations kind of made it popular by singing it. The Wonder of Wonders. And that, maybe if I really have a goal in this message, I want us to capture the wonder of Christmas and the wonder of wonders. Now, we have a Sunday school lesson coming up that really, I think, captures a lot of the text. I'm guessing we're using the CLP books, Matthew chapter 1, but the text is so rich in capturing the what I would call the three wonders. The wonder that God became flesh and was given for me. The wonder that the Almighty came down and walked among men. We use the word Emmanuel. That's going to be in the text. And I guess the wonder of wonders is that he died for my sins. Just a few comments on each one of these wonders. God, the incarnation. I think Charles Wesley said it well. Is it Hark the Herald Angels Sing? But he has this little, he has the phrase, veiled in flesh. Veiled, covered, concealed, in flesh. The Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Oh, the incarnation conceived of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, a wonder that actually defies explanation. I'm not going to try to expound or just go through it point by point. I mean, consider it. I think this was Max Lucado said, the one who was larger than the universe became became a microscopic embryo. He who sustains the world with a word, sustains the world with a word, chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young lady. That is unexplainable. I would like to have an ocean liner on the one side of the pulpit and a drinking glass on the other side. And I'd like to say, now come please, help me fit the ocean liner in here. That's what we're talking about, the incarnation. God became flesh. Unbelievable. It's like trying to fit an ocean into a cup. It's like trying to put a Kansas wheat field into a cereal box. It's like putting an oil well into a little oil can. The incarnation is absolutely amazing. And maybe it's because God couldn't impress himself by making himself bigger because he's big. Maybe he made himself smaller to attract us. The image of God in a manger is actually attractive, at least in my mind. Put a politician in a manger scene, there's no attraction at all, right? Even good politicians or people that have left a mark, a positive mark on history, still. Do you get my point? There's something about God, the great big God, making himself so small. It's unbelievable. I mean, God, the light of the world, making his home in a dark womb that he created. That's just a wonder. Secondly, the Almighty came down and walked among men. Emmanuel, God with us. And again, Wesley says it so well. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld it. He walked with us. Again, what a wonder. God with us. He became one of us. Tears, sweat, work, dust, available, approachable, touchable. No hint of a person. Well, at least I can't find it. No hint of a person that was afraid to draw nigh to him because of his greatness. Emmanuel. Despite the mocking, the envy, the slander, No one considered him too holy, too divine, too high to approach him, reach out and touch him. In fact, you have the opposite of him reaching down and pulling the children and holding them, even while some others didn't understand. He was thronged by the needy, thronged by the sick, thronged by the lepers, the children. That's a wonder to me, Emmanuel, God with us. But ultimately, what I cannot wrap my mind around, I caught myself in a prayer. Was it yesterday? I think we were praying as a family. And I caught myself telling God, I don't like to pay other people's bills. And I don't know where that came from. Hope it's not from my taxes that are due. Right? Do you enjoy? It's hard enough paying your own bills. I don't like to pay other people's bills. That is precisely the heart of Christmas. The wonder of wonders. He died for my sins. Don't ever forget. He came to save us from our sins. Not in our sins. Not that we stay there. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save his people from his sins. Sometimes it's all about the backdrop. I remember focusing on Easter one time, and without those dark, gloomy days, right, leading up to Easter, that's the backdrop. That's the backdrop is all about the event. I mean, I should say it like this. The backdrop is very important for your comprehension of the event. Even like the song that we first heard the bells. When I got the backdrop, and even Joy to the World. But think, we're talking about the wonder of wonders. He died for my sins. I think this was Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgum who said, have you ever really faced the darkness of your sin? Once you do, you'll celebrate the story of Christmas in a whole new way. And that is so important to remember this Christmas season. The backdrop really is my dark, my ugly, dark heart that was destined to an eternity without Christ. But and the bill was far beyond my ability to pay. And he stepped down. The incarnation, he stepped down. Emmanuel, he stepped down. And he went all the way to the cross. Why? To pay for my sin. That's a wonder. It didn't end in a manger. The story goes all the way to the cross. That's the wonder of wonders. So the song, I forget the author. I didn't write it down. But to me, this song says so much. So let's stand and we'll sing it. This will be the last song. Let's sing it together. There's a verse that is not real popular, probably because the inspirations didn't sing it. But I have that fourth verse as well. So go ahead.
He was her maker as well.
This Christmas season, overwhelm us with these wonders. The incarnation, Emmanuel, and ultimately that you died for our sins. So amidst our traditions and things about Christmas, make us a blessing to others as we are exploding with these wonders. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.